So the first reading is from 2 Timothy 1, and starting to read at verse 6. For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Timothy 2, chapter 3, beginning to read at verse 10. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings, what kind of things have happened to me in Antioch, Iconium and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge: preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather round them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. This is indeed the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Indeed. Father God, we pray that your Holy Spirit will help us just to appreciate more of your love for us in the way in which you've given us your word, the Bible. So indeed, may we value it and put it into practice in our lives. So be with us now, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. I'm sure you've all got one of these cards which has got our vision, our message, and our values in it. Our vision is our community is transformed by Jesus. And tonight we're thinking about our values, and particularly the second one down on the left by the cross, the Bible as the Word of God. I was wondering whether actually the Bible is a value or something we value. I think it's something we value. But it gives us our values as well. So that's what we're going to be thinking about tonight. And I was wondering when this was put together by Nick and others, a lot of thought was given about the particular symbols. Why a cross next to the Bible rather than a picture of a book? You know, here's a Bible, why isn't it a little icon like that? Why is the cross next to the Bible? Well, just to remind you of one of those verses we've just heard. It's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, and if you're wanting to follow it in your Bibles, it's on page 1196, page 1196. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, "Continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ." So when we think about the Bible, we actually soon move on to thinking about what its purpose is in our lives, that it's to make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. The Holy Scriptures are the basis of wisdom. Just something about the context of this second letter of Timothy. Paul, as far as we're able to tell, was in Rome, in Italy, in prison, anticipating execution. Timothy was in Ephesus, what's currently in the west end of Turkey, and around there was persistent false teaching. The letter refers to it in a number of places that we've read to us this evening. Rather than following that false teaching, Paul writes to Timothy, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned." As for you, don't go the way everybody else is going. Actually, stick to Scripture. And this Scripture is about faith in Christ Jesus. We value the Bible because it tells us about Jesus. The cross of Christ is shown to us by the Scriptures. Paul writes, "You know how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Timothy's situation, Paul refers to earlier in the letter in chapter 1. "I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also." So when he was brought up from infancy, it was as a practicing Jew, looking at what we would now know as the Old Testament. This is what his mother and grandmother had taught him. So how's the Old Testament about Jesus? Well, the day that Jesus was raised from the dead, he met a couple of disciples on the road to Emmaus. And they were all confused as to what had happened. Where had Jesus gone? The tomb was empty. He'd been crucified 3 days before that. Where were all their hopes? And unknown to them, or unrecognized by them at that stage, Jesus comes alongside and walks with them. And if you want to follow this passage, it's on page 1061. It's Luke chapter 24. I'd just like to read a few verses starting at verse 25. So in all this perplexity, Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" Jesus opened the scriptures to them and explained to them what was said in all the scriptures, in other words, the Old Testament, about himself. That's the thought that Paul is picking up on in this letter to Timothy. This morning I was quite amazed. On our breakfast table we have a little calendar that each day has a little verse on and a little comment from Billy Graham. And today's verse was, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." The verse from Revelation talking about Jesus. His comment is, in Genesis, Jesus is the seed of the woman. In Exodus, he is the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he is the atoning sacrifice. In Numbers, the smitten rock. In Deuteronomy, the prophet. In Joshua, the captain of the Lord's hosts. In Judges, the deliverer. In Ruth, the heavenly kinsman. In Esther, the advocate. In Job, my redeemer. In Psalms, my strength. In Proverbs, my pattern. In Ecclesiastes, my goal. In the Song of Solomon, my satisfier. In the prophets, the coming Prince of Peace. I thought that was a really good summary of the Old Testament and just how Billy Graham had picked out particular attributes of Jesus that can be seen all the way through. And what Paul's writing to Timothy here is that this enables to make us wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. In our first passage that Yvonne read to us, there were these words from chapter 1, that Jesus, this grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. God has saved us because of his own purpose and grace. He saved us at a point in history that was affecting the destiny of the whole world. And yet that was thought of before the beginning of time. And just further on in that passage, a verse that we may well know from a hymn, "I know whom I have believed and am convinced he's able to guard what I've entrusted until him, until that day." Beyond time, in eternity. So whilst Jesus on the cross died, as it were, in our history, in our time, this was something that God had in mind before the beginning of time and will guard it for us when time is wrapped up as we know it. So, the Bible we value because it teaches us about Jesus. Paul, with Timothy, was in Ephesus for a considerable period of time. If you watch at home, look at Acts chapter 19 on Paul's second visit to Ephesus. First of all, he stayed in the synagogue for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. And what did they do in the synagogue? They opened up the Old Testament script, what we would call the Old Testament scriptures. So when Paul was arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God, he was teaching about Jesus Christ from the Old Testament in a synagogue context. And then he moves on for 2 years in the lecture hall of a man called Tyrannus. And so he writes to Timothy, "What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus." Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. This isn't just us getting our minds round something. It's actually God working in us. The Holy Spirit who lives in us. In our passage, Scripture is God-breathed, inspired. So not only do we value Scripture, the Bible, because it tells us about Jesus, we value it because it's actually God's word, it's God-given. Elsewhere, Paul claims his message was taught by the Spirit. He wrote about that in his first letter to the church at Corinth. He talked about the way in which he was speaking as sent by God. He commends his letters to be read in church in the way in which the Old Testament would have been read in the synagogue. And there's this lovely passage. If you struggle with understanding some of Paul's letters, take comfort. Someone else did as well. Second letter of Peter, chapter 3. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience, that's that his second coming has not yet happened, means salvation. Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. Do see there that in writing this second letter of Peter, Paul's letters are put alongside the scriptures. They're given a particular authority. And there's that famous verse at the end of John's Gospel, that these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Well, the scriptures, our New Testament, was discerned by the church, seeking the Holy Spirit's guidance as to what should be in the New Testament. But there's just a little bit of background that even in those early days, as when the New Testament, what we have as the New Testament, was itself being written, it was being recognised as being God-given and having that authority alongside the Old Testament scriptures. Well, I'm going to get you discussing something in a minute, but just before that, what's the purpose of Scripture? In our passage, we have all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And if you look at teaching and rebuking, those are things mainly about what we think. That little icon on the left there of the man with the cogs in his head, or woman with cogs in her head, going round. It's about what we think, what we believe. But the correcting and training in righteousness is about what we do, about our journey. Just to work that through in a little bit more detail. The teaching. I did wonder about using a light bulb rather than the thumbs up. But it's that dawning moment when Scripture teaches us about Jesus. That joy of knowing him. That's one of the purposes of Scripture. I did wonder about a thumbs down for this, but actually, hang on a minute. Rebuking. We've not got it quite right. I found it really interesting to, when I was preparing this, just to make sure I was, my thoughts, you know, how does all this fit together? The risk that Paul talks about in this letter of false teaching. Time and time again, he's very weighed down with this. You know, that people will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Paul is rebuking them. There's that alarm bell that needs to go off about how we're living. Our lives need correcting. I could have put up a sign of a U-turn, because sometimes we need to turn our lives around. We need to do that when we first come to Christ, but there are things in our lives that we have to say, hang on, I realise that's not right. Scripture corrects us. And Scripture gives us direction, training in righteousness. So in Paul's little list here of teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, there's two very positive things and two, hang on a minute, get your thinking straight, get your life straight. So could I ask you in little groups, actually you're not too badly arranged in little groups, there's a little group at the back, there's a music group, and there's, if you could arrange yourselves into two groups here, and just think about what are your go-to verses in the Bible, the ones that, you know, if someone says to you, what's your favourite verse, be interested to know what that is, but what's your, I really, you know, want to cling on to this sort of verse. What are those? Just share those amongst yourselves for a few minutes. And I'll come round and ask you what they are. Good. I'm going to come round and see if anyone wants to contribute something to this. Anyone from this group want to say what they're...
No comment.
Yeah, a verse and why it means something. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Good. Rachel's going to share a verse with us and why it's important to her.
So one of my go-tos is Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, which is, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus, which is just really reassuring for me that A, it's God's work, and he's the one who will strengthen and sustain no matter what happens. So it's always reassuring when I'm messing up to know that God is good and faithful.
Right.
Yeah.
Good. Tim, were you?
No. It's too long.
All of Isaiah.
All of Isaiah. Oh, the whole of Isaiah. Right. Okay. Anyone from this little group?
Too many for us to pick.
Well, choose one.
And we haven't had enough time. We haven't even finished sharing yet. Julie's not spoken.
No, don't say.
That's
rushing us through, really.
No, don't worry.
You can talk a bit more later on. But have you got one from what you've discussed so far? No?
No.
This group.
It's hard to pick one first, though, because one leads into another.
Yeah.
Which is good, isn't it?
Anyone here?
Do you want to share yours, Joy?
Joy.
Well, Psalm 27 does it for me. It's very encouraging, but most of the time I go to it when I'm on a downer, it really lifts me up.
Hmm. Right. Anyone at the back want to say something?
We just wanted to walk.
Ecclesiastes 3, the time for everything. So
right.
It's quite self-explanatory, but just that there's a season for everything.
Yeah. And so where things fit in.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Go.
Thank you. So I know that most people find Psalm 23 very good. I find Psalm 22 really good. Part of which is, seems to be speaking about the crucifixion of Christ. But if you get down to about verse 5, it talks about God hearing them. And them not being disappointed. Okay, I just found that one helpful.
Because we all like so much, but it's 2 Samuel 22. And David says, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer." It's similar to what Joy's chosen. My rock, my God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge and my saviour, which actually fits in what you've been talking about. Mm. From violent people you save me. And it goes on. So.
Thank you. Well, thank you for sharing those things. One verse that always comes back to my mind is out of Paul's letter to the Philippians. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And when I'm in a pickle over something, I always find that helpful. Verse to go to. I'm interested that most of the verses that we've picked out have been ones of, as it were, of reassurance. There's been that thing about, which I guess in terms of this little icons would be the thumbs up one. You know, God's for us. Can I give you a little challenge then? Because there's something about learning, there's something about changing our thinking, there's something about changing our lifestyle, and there's something about doing. And the point that Paul is making to Timothy, and I'm not being critical of you or of myself in this, is that actually Scripture's for all four things, not just the thumbs up things. My favourite verse is a thumbs up one. And I guess that's, you know, that's human nature, as it were, that we would go to that. And we just appreciate the God's love for us. But actually, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness. So when we read the Bible, are we open to all of those four things as we take on Scripture? That there will be things which will be very affirming, help us in our thinking, our belief. There'll be some things where we will need to change our thinking. There'll be some things which we'll need to change our way we live. And there'll be some things that we need to start doing. There's that balance across it. Because in this next verse, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We haven't got time this evening to go into what that word servant of God, or you'll see as a footnote, or you a man of God, which is a term that Paul uses of Timothy in the first letter to Timothy as well. And that phrase man of God is used throughout the Old Testament about particular people acting on God's behalf in quite spectacular ways. Does that apply to all of us? Well, I think it does in a way, and I'll come on to that in a second. But it's so that we might be thoroughly equipped. We might be complete in our discipleship. That should be our aim. And we won't be thoroughly equipped or complete if we just focus on one of those four things to the exclusion of the other three, is the point that Paul is making to Timothy. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And whether the servant of God is Timothy in a special way, kind of like the Bishop of Ephesus, or whether it's a more general term for all of us, I don't think it matters that much, which is why I wasn't going to go into that in a great deal of detail. Because the point that Paul makes to Timothy is that he should share it with others. And so sharing it, it's for all of us. The scripture pointing us to make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus as people who are taught, rebuked, corrected, and trained. And towards the end of this passage, Paul writes to Timothy, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. And again, we might think, oh, that's for special church leader people like Timothy was. Do the work of an evangelist. And I came across a very useful little illustration of this to do with football. And if you think about a football team, all the team are equally keen to win the match. All the team are equally keen to win the match. And yet it's the striker or strikers that are tasked specifically with scoring the goals. And you can see the people who've got a special ministry, a pioneering of sharing the gospel as evangelists, being a little bit like the strikers scoring the goals. But the whole team needs to support them. And also it's the case in a football team that all the team members sometimes, from time to time, score goals as well. It isn't just the preserve of the striker, the centre forward. As Paul put it to the Corinthians, we are all ambassadors for Christ. So this isn't special teaching just for Timothy. It's something for us all to learn from. And I hope that that fourfold teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, because that was something I hadn't really thought about in quite this level of detail until I was preparing this. As I open up scripture, am I looking for things which not only will give me the thumbs up, but those things that say, hang on, those things that ring the alarm bell, and those things that say, get on with it. Because that's what scripture should be working in our lives. Well, just to conclude, just after those verses that were read to us, Paul continues in this way with another sporting analogy. I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. To all for who have longed for his appearing. This isn't about winning, it's about finishing. Paul could see his life was about to be finished for him at the hand of a Roman executioner. He asked Timothy, can you get here before then in this letter? But he doesn't know, and we don't know whether Timothy did indeed get there before then. Probably not. Although some scholars would say, yes, he did. But that's not the important point. Paul recognises that his life is dedicated to Christ Jesus. That Christ Jesus who saved him. That Christ Jesus who's made known in the Holy Scriptures. And it wasn't about winning, it was about finishing.